The Shared Desk, Episode 7.
See, now we got it down to a system.
Yeah, you point at me.
Yeah. And it is, once again, as I move the microphone closer to you.
Well, but just look not, at us professional.
Just not off the desk. It is the Shared Desk. I am T. Morris.
And I'm Philip Valentine.
And, wow, it's November.
How did that happen?
Yeah, I know. The last time I blinked was, what, September?
I feel like I didn't blink since last year.
Yeah, I know. Things have been moving very, very fast. Very fast. But
is
now,
this married life? Maybe it just moves faster.
I don't know if it's married life or if it's just a combination of married life with promotional life, but we're here. But the one thing that we're not doing, and I'm kind of thankful for it, is NaNoWriMo. Have you ever done NaNoWriMo?
I have meant to do NaNoWriMo like 3 or 4 times, so if that counts, then yes, I've done NaNoWriMo.
You've mentally done NaNoWriMo.
I have prepared myself mentally, and then something has always come up to kind of kick me in the jimmies and stop me from doing it.
And what lovely jimmies they are.
I don't have jimmies.
Yeah, I know you
just
don't.
So you
I know.
Guys
I know.
Dad.
I think I checked. So anyway.
No customs checked.
Yeah. The
immigration checked.
Turn your head and cough, Miss Ballantyne. So yeah, we're talking a little bit about NaNoWriMo. We're talking about for those folks who don't know, but you know, if you're listening to this podcast and you're curious about writing, chances are you know about National Novel Writing
Month.
Yeah.
We're recording this on the 8th.
Yeah, we're recording this on the 8th. So
the idea is?
The idea is that in 30 days, have September, April, June, and November, that in 30 days you can write a novel.
Unless you're Nathan Lowell, in which case you've already written one.
Right, exactly.
He got to 50,000 words today.
Yeah, I know. By the time we're done with this podcast, he'll be done with his first draft.
Well, I have to point out that he's actually a bit of a slacker because he can usually do 10K a day.
Do we happen to mention that we're going to be launching a new podcast called the I Hate Nathan Lowell podcast?
I think it'll be very popular.
Yeah, yes, it would, from with other authors. So, no, I mean, the thing about National Novel Writing Month is that in a theory, and it's funny, there are two mindsets.
Camps, if you will.
Yeah, concerning National Novel Writing Month.
One is, I've heard, and I can say this because he's talked about it publicly, Evo Terra's pretty
How
much...
How did you know I was pulling up his website?
Pretty much his disdain for NaNo, and I can see why he has his points, and I can understand them, which is, and you've had this situation crop up where somebody says, well, I'm a writer. I only write in November, but I'm a writer.
Yes. And then suddenly that becomes, yes, I'm a writer, but I'm a writer once a month. Once a year, and it's only
for
a month. That bothers me. That bothers me a lot. I mean, the idea of National Novel Writing Month, NaNoWriMo, is that it's supposed to get you into the idea of what it's like to be an author.
Mm-hmm.
What it's like to be, whether you want to call yourself an author or a writer. I mean, we've never even really talked about the distinction. I mean, what makes an author, what makes a writer? Not on this show. But I mean, I think National Novel Writing Month, NaNoWriMo, I keep wanting to call it by his full name because it sounds more prolific and more pontificating.
It's called NaNoWriMo.
Than NaNoWriMo. Which basically sounds like something you'd do on the internet. NaNoWriMo. Are you doing NaNoWriMo? And I think NaNoWriMo separates writers from authors. I think you and I are authors. I think people who are only participating in NaNoWriMo are writers.
Well, they are. They're writing.
Right. Which is what they do. I mean, that is what you do. But part of being a writer, part of being an author,
is to have it in your lifestyle, really, isn't it?
And that's what NaNoWriMo, I believe,
is all
about.
It's like being a vegetarian.
Yeah.
You got to practice it daily.
It's like working out. It's like, you know, picking up an instrument. You've got to go on ahead and you've got to you've got to get into the regimen of writing. And in that respect, I think NaNoWriMo is a wonderful exercise.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things that I don't quite understand. Like, for instance, why did, of all the months, did they choose November?
I think it was just, you should look up the Wikipedia page, but I was under the assumption that the people who started it, that's just the month they picked. It's actually a tough month because
it's a very tough month.
November is, in America at least, the start of the holiday season, really. I mean, you've got Thanksgiving right in the middle of there.
Thanksgiving, and
you've just crawled out of Halloween. So.
And you're getting, and in with some stores, you're getting ready for Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's just, I could see January being the perfect NaNoWriMo month because it's the beginning of the year. People make resolutions. You know, this year I'm going to write that magic novel. Why not make it January 01?
I don't know exactly why they did that.
I've never understood the idea of why we have NaNoWriMo on November. But for those who are doing it, usually it's the first week, and we're, like I said, we're recording us on the 8th, we're posting this on the 9th. Usually if people are going to join NaNoWriMo late, yeah. It's in these 3 days.
There's no point, after the 15th, you really.
Yeah.
You're Nathan Lowell.
Unless you're Nathan Lowell, yeah.
Very few of us are.
Yes, but we wish we were.
Yeah.
And so I would say that's my first beef with NaNoWriMo. But as Ivo said on his blog, and that's a simpler way.com, once a month, we have people who say, yes, I'm a writer. Well, what have you written? Well, I don't write until November. That's when I set aside the time. Well, then you're not really a writer. You're more like a hobbyist.
Yeah. I mean, the way I look at NaNoWriMo, I get some of the points that Ivo is making, and I understand that. But for some people who want to write, but they haven't had the kick in the pants to do it, they need somebody to say, well, you must write, or they want to participate in a wider community of people who are all kind of supporting each other to write. I think if you're starting off, Why not?
If you're starting off. That's the thing, though. If you're starting off.
It's also like a confidence exercise for some people, knowing that they can get that 50,000 words out.
But you just nailed that. If you're starting off.
Yes.
And what I've never understood are the habitual NaNoWriMo participants that basically say, yes, I just wrote my novel. And they do it only in November. What about the other?
Yeah, I think if you want to be a really successful writer, you cannot confine it to just 1 month out of the year.
I agree. The other thing that Ivo brings up in his article that I also think I think it's going to be more prevalent this year than in previous years. You and I have talked about ebooks before. We've talked about the simplicity and the ease of producing ebooks.
Yeah,
and I guarantee you on the Kindle and on the Nook marketplaces, we are going to see
it's going to be flooded.
A deluge.
In fact, if you go over onto smashwords.com, they have. I was uploading some short stories today, and I noticed that there was a new section, I guess, of Smashwords where if you wanted to publish something, you could do it for NaNoWriMo.
No.
Yes.
No. Oh, that's just putting the loaded gun into the manic depressor's
hands. When I went to hit publish,
oh, you've got to be
it
kidding
said,
me.
This isn't the area to publish something for NaNoWriMo. So
wow.
I'm not quite sure what they're doing over
oh,
there.
Oh, man. Oh, points against Smashwords.
Yeah.
See, to me, I don't think NaNoWriMo is the real separation of the men between the boys. Or, not to be sexist, the ladies from the girls. I think it's when people participate in NaNoWriMo, then they go on in February to participate in NaNoEDMO.
EDMO, yeah.
That now,
National Novel Editing Month.
Yes. Now let's just throw in a few shout outs for this. This doesn't have the following as National Novel Writing
It
Month.
Should.
It should. In fact, I think it should be a bigger following.
Yes. Yeah.
Because what they do in NaNoEDMO, and again, I fault the organizers or the people that came up with this idea, they picked February.
Mm.
See, this kind of logic does not compute with me. First, they pick the month between Halloween and Christmas and the beginning of the holiday season to write the novel. And then they pick the shortest month of the year.
They should pick the longest month.
They really should pick a 31-dayer.
Oh, I wish sometimes when I'm editing I had a longer month.
I mean, even professionally produced books need 31 days, you know?
Yeah.
And I it fails me. It boggles my mind that they said, you know what? We need a good month to do NaNoWriMo. Hey, what's the shortest month of the year? I know, February. It's shorter by all of them by 2 days.
Yeah, on a leap year. Yeah, you get even
more. Oh, yeah. But if you get a leap year, you get that extra day. You know? So, come on.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not entirely sure. Perhaps you should go to the Wikipedia page and pull up NaNoWriMo. Why or how they decided
very subtle.
On these
I just
things.
Want to say
I'm
very
just,
subtle.
I'm just telling you that. Perhaps the listeners at home would like to do that as well. There's some strangeness in NaNoWriMo, but we've got quite a few friends that are doing it.
And we're not dissing them because
no,
of that.
I'm not
no,
dissing
no, no, no.
Them
we're
at
not
all.
Dissing them. We're going to get into what I think.
I
are
have
the
to say though, 50,000 words isn't really a novel unless you're writing. I don't know. Even in YA, that's barely a novel.
So this is what this is the history according to Wikipedia. It says basically says that Chris Batty, B-A-T-Y, started this project in July 1999 with 21 participants. In, well, there's a shock, the San Francisco Bay Area.
Well, they're responsible for many
In the
things.
Year 2000, it was moved to November. Oh, here we go. Quote, to more fully take advantage of the miserable weather.
So they're saying that we should be writing and editing in winter.
Okay, you know, that's a stupid reason. I'm just going to come out and say it. That's a really dumb reason. Because of the miserable weather. Hey, Sparky, why not have it in spring when the weather's really nice? Because then you're really testing your patience as an author.
Yeah.
Because then you got to be like, well, I can either go outside and enjoy the beautiful sunshine,
or I can put my nose to the grindstone.
Yeah. And again, it comes back to the this is where I start to lose my patience with NaNoWriMo, because it suddenly becomes a convenient excuses. You know, I got nothing better to do.
I gotta wait till winter.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait till winter. I'm gonna wait until sunlight depression kicks in, and then I'm gonna go on ahead and write.
Well, everyone
my novel.
Likes a depressed writer.
Yes, exactly.
Drinking wine and dying in a garret
with your ascot and coughing blood on it to make
that's
nice floral pattern. And, but yeah. So then another thing, we talked about going back to Evo's article. You've got the people that basically do this. You know, every year, and then you've got people that believe that first draft is is gold.
Yeah.
Now I've actually heard some authors, both big press and small press, make that claim. They go,
really?
They go, yeah, yeah. It's
we've
right.
talked about that before.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's a load of old codswallop.
It really is. It really is. And NaNoWriMo was born and bred for people like this, because if you think that your work doesn't need to be edited, you're the one that needs the most editing.
Yeah.
And I just find it shocking that Smashwords is actually going, hey, if you're doing NaNoWriMo, publish it here. And they're going to just go on ahead and take advantage of these morons that are going to just say, hey, it's November 30th, publish. You know, that crosses the line with me. The reason why I'm saying that we are not bashing on our friends that are doing NaNoWriMo, or more to the point, anyone that's doing NaNoWriMo, is that at its core, it's a really good thing.
It is. I mean, I from what I've seen, as long as you – I mean, there's a lot of community. There's a lot of rah-rah going on at this time of year for people. I think – it's like anything. It's what people put into it is what they get out of it. And also the people who continue to do it afterwards. I mean, it has started careers for some people.
Yes, it's started careers for some people. It has actually started people into a regiment of writing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hardest part of this whole profession, is butt and chair.
Yeah.
You hear us say it. You hear Merce say it. You hear Nathan say it. Even though when he sits down, he cranks out about 10,000 words, but that's because he's
ignoring him.
Yeah. Anyway, but like, I mean, you know, friends of ours like Ash Robbins,
mm-hmm.
who's been on this podcast, she's doing NaNoWriMo.
Mm-hmm.
And
Doc Coleman's doing NaNo.
Right. Jared Axelrod is doing NaNo.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people that are writers that do NaNo. And I think it gives that, it gives this month, this exercise, a lot of legitimacy, because it is a challenge. I don't think I can do it.
I think it's what you do after with it that really matters. I mean, if you take it and throw it up on Smashwords, literally throw it up on Smashwords, then you're doing yourself a disservice. I think you should take it. Obviously, for 50,000 words, you're going to have to add some more words to make it a marketable story if you're planning on selling it. So there you've got more work to be done beyond November. Then you've got the editing that needs to be done, the polishing, the line editing.
And that's the big thing. I really want to commit us in February, we are going to do a salute to NaNoWriMo.
Yeah.
Because I don't think NaNoWriMo gets the attention it deserves. And I think it needs more participants. I really do.
Just as many participants as
NaNoWriMo. There should be more participants in NaNoWriMo.
I would actually be more inclined to take a Nano Idmo than NaNoWriMo.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'd rather work on an entire work in progress and then bring it to Nano Edmo and go, okay, what needs to be changed here?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I make no bones about it. I doubt very sincerely if I could do NaNoWriMo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I got that in me. I can't.
Well, there are some people who are also that Nathan's talked about this being a binge writer. I mean, he doesn't write for a while and then he just like binges and shoots out the words.
See, we intervene because usually binging is
a bad thing. Yeah, binging is usually bad.
But with Nate,
I mean, if people, I've always thought that, you know, the writing advice that people give you.
I want to be Nathan Lowell. I want to be Nathan Lowell.
Hush, child.
I do.
Hush, I know I do. You do, but you can't be.
I hate you, Nathan.
I think with rate.
I love you, but I hate you.
I'm going to reach over there and squirt whatever this is.
Ew.
It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
I was trying to say something really profound and you,
but you
totally
didn't.
Cocked
so,
me up.
Going
so.
Back to that.
You blocked me, Morris, for the last time. I'm going to pull your mic out. I swear to God. What I was what I was going to say is that
someone needs to chillax.
Where is okay. it? I'm going to pull it.
I'm trying to help you, you idiot.
What I was going to say is that NaNoWriMo is a bit like all the other editing advice. It's writing advice and editing advice. It's people say a lot of things. This is the rule. This is how you do it. But it really, you've got to look around and find what works for you. If NaNoWriMo works for you, it helps you, you know, get your butt in the chair and get out those 50,000 words, the first 50,000 of your novel, then good for you. But don't
exactly.
expect it to be the silver bullet. You've got to have a lot of work afterwards.
And that's the other thing I would say. If anybody came to us for advice at this stage of the game with NaNoWriMo, the first thing I'd say to them is, keep writing after mm-hmm. NaNoWriMo. That's gonna be the real dividing line. And if you want to write only on November, fine. But and maybe this is just me, but don't be calling yourself a writer because that would be like me saying, "Well, I'm a gamer." and I mean, I have a long way to go before I become a gamer. I'm playing Batman Arkham Asylum. I'm playing Child of Eden. Does that make me a gamer? No, because I'm too busy writing to habitually game.
Yeah.
I don't go to the cons to game. I go to the cons to talk about podcasting or I talk about being an author. But do I consider myself a gamer? No, I consider myself someone who enjoys a game.
I think if you just do NaNoWriMo, you're dabbling.
Yeah, you're a hobbyist.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But it's those people, it's those audible few, those far too audible few that basically say, yes, I am an author. And I go, oh, really? What have you written? What are you working on now? I don't work until November. Is that a moon cycle thing? What is that?
I've also found a lot of people, they don't do anything with it afterwards. They go,
yeah.
I've been to authors' writing groups where they're like, yeah, my last nano novel, I did this. What did you do with it afterwards? Oh, nothing.
It's in the desk.
Yeah, it's in the drawer.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. I mean,
thought about doing Nano Edmo? Oh, I'm too busy. Oh, wait a minute. You make the time to write, but you do not make the time to edit. Then you're half the writer you should be. I also want to rant in favor of NaNoWriMo. Going back to what you said, it's that community. You know, similar
and there
to,
is an amazing community
of
people.
Oh, it's a fantastic community.
Huge website, yeah. You know, podcasts,
great network.
Blogs, you know.
Yeah. I know at one time, and I think you can still find it online, I know Chris Miller had a NaNoWriMo podcast, and literally every day.
The
Nano Monkeys? The Nano
Monkeys, yes. Yeah, I contributed to that.
I contributed to it as well. Nano Monkeys, great podcast.
I don't think it's going anymore, but it's possibly still out there in a while.
It should be. And a great podcast because it's timeless information.
Yeah.
I really do. I really believe it's timeless information. But my two bits of advice for those people participating in NaNoWriMo, make the same amount of time you're making for NaNoWriMo right now, double it for Nano Edmo.
Mm-hmm.
Make that time for Nano Edmo, because whatever you're creating now, it's a beautiful thing, but it's not ready for prime time.
It's not polished.
It's not polished, and you want to
put it out there for goodness sake until it's polished.
And I think the other bit of advice that I would give would be, you look at the way you are now, and scale it back. By all means, scale it back, but do what you're doing now, 3-4 times out of the week.
Yeah.
You know, set aside time, even if it's once or twice a week, set aside the regiment. If you really want to see your work go to that next level, which may or may not be publication, then you've got to keep at it. You've got to get into the regiment and keep writing. Because last time I checked, that's what authors do. We write.
Writers off the clock.
So what do you want to do?
I don't know. What do you want to do?
I don't know.
No idea.
Dial it back now to the smooth tunes.
Smooth tunes of autumn. Because that's one of the things that writers need to do. Obviously, it's harder to do it during NaNoWriMo, but you have to unplug. And we've talked about different ways of stepping away from the computer.
I'm totally going to claim ownership of this idea.
Well, you go right ahead. You go right ahead. Now, we've talked about games. We've talked about television. But this time...
How about the real world?
Yeah, well, there's a real world outside of our house.
Well, so I've moved into the Northern Virginia area.
Tell me about your home, Miss Ballantyne. Tell me about the foliage in your home. Did it make you feel funny?
Well, the foliage in Virginia is lovely. New Zealand, we don't have much foliage. But also, the reason I wanted to get out, well, T and Sonic Boom and I went out on a little Northern Virginia adventure. In fact, we went three states adventure.
It was a Northern Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland adventure.
Yes.
And really, when we're talking about foliage, no, this is not some kind of innuendo. We're actually talking about leaves.
The foliage, the actual foliage.
You might think, how interesting can leaves be? But really, I got some beautiful pictures. I'm going to put a couple on the blog.
That sounds a good idea.
But really, at least
in... Where do you think inspiration comes from? Sometimes it doesn't come from staring at a blank wall in your studio for hours on end.
No, of course not. And really, there was something to be said about... When I say we went on an adventure, literally we went on an adventure. We knew that we needed to be in...
Shepherdstown, West Virginia.
At a specific time. So we're driving up there, and I happen to catch this little sign. Now, in Virginia, and I'm sure they have this in other states as well. Now, here's a bit of trivia for you, a little bit of trivia. That in every state of the United States, they all have at least one winery.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. Big places.
And but even in the small states, even like Rhode Island.
Rhode
Island has a vineyard. Everybody has a vineyard. But what struck me about this one particular sign that we're driving by, it said
Vineyard.
Corcoran Vineyard and Brewery. And I went, oh, hello.
Yeah, once you add the brewery, suddenly your interest was like, peep.
Yeah, and so we started driving. And even the GPS had a tough time trying to figure out where this place was.
Yeah, we went on gravel roads and single-lane roads.
And we stopped a lot because, wow, I mean...
There were some beautiful little roads and rivers. And,
and
abandoned buildings. I love abandoned buildings.
And this
ones
one
that nature is like kind of
it's
grabbing.
Very, it's very Logan's Run. You know, it had that whole had the vines creeping over it.
Those.
And, oh, it's great. And then you add to that the reds and the yellows and the greens of the turning leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And we eventually found
we were going along the Shenandoah Valley.
Yeah. That was where we were, and we eventually found
West
in
Virginia.
And well, no, we weren't in
Shenandoah
West Virginia though.
Valley.
When we got to Corcoran, when we got to Corcoran, or
we were just outside of where were we?
We were just outside of Leesburg. We were in the outskirts of Leesburg, which really kind of bumps up to the West Virginia border. And I didn't even realize how close we were to West Virginia until we went on this adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And with this, and unfortunately, the brewery is so small at this vineyard that they had a fall festival the previous.
Drank all the beer.
Previous weekend, lost all
we're
the
gonna
beer.
We're going to have to go back up there again.
We need to. Because one, they have great pulled barbecue.
This is the strange thing I find about Virginia and maybe other parts of America, I guess, is that you have the developments. And then you literally can drive like a minute outside the development and suddenly there's farms and there's pumpkin farms and vineyards and wineries and horses.
And the wine. Oh, we got several bottles of wine. The coolest wine that we got was a port style wine.
I'm going to have some of that after the finish recording.
And it was called USB.
Because you're not allowed to call it port unless you are in Portugal.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So they got around it by calling it USB port
style.
Style.
Port style.
It was very nice. And it's then, a fortified wine.
But my favorite was that that deep red wine. It was called a Franc.
Yes, that was a Franc.
And
Franc.
Franc. Wow. I mean, the only thing that was missing from when I tasted this wine was a nice filet mignon or a wood-grilled steak.
We're going to get a big old steak and
eat it. Yes, yes, we do.
And that was really pretty.
We
they had a little lake there. They had that was a really old house.
Oh, yeah, it was beautiful.
It's like 1800 something or other. And they had I guess it was a barn that was being taken over by the wild.
And
again,
I took some shots of that. I mean, it was great for the shutterbug in me. And it was also a great time to just spend with Sonic Boom and you.
Yeah.
And it makes you a better writer. It really does. And so when you need to unplug, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, one digital joy to another digital joy.
I say get off the beaten track.
Yeah.
Just tootle around. With GPS, the thing is that you can have, we had our destination Shepherdstown plugged in. But because the GPS can recalculate, you can just wander off the trails and just go and explore. If there's a sign, drive down there and check it out. You never know what you might find. And getting back to the writing thing, inspiration. You never know where you're going to find inspiration. It could be on the back roads of West Virginia.
Or in a bottle of wine.
Or two.
Or three.
How would you rate this one, Miles?
Well, usually they start you on lines of learning disabilities, but this one is pretty damn good. This is the new one. Right, Chris?
Just released about 2 months ago.
Nice job.
We like it.
Yeah. You could work in a wine store, Miles.
Yeah.
That'd be a good move.
Are you chewing gum?
Seriously?
Seriously.
You ready to rant? Now we can rant. Yeah. Because
I think we want to keep this constructive.
We do want to keep it constructive. We want to keep it constructive, but let's talk about what we've been dealing with since September. September, October, November.
Well, yeah, we've been to a lot of conventions.
Yeah. The thing that I would like to impart upon all panelists that are out there.
Don't be a
You know, you went there. You went there, female Will Wheaton. You really did. Good gravy. We really did meet some real humdingers in the past year, haven't we?
Yeah, from the moderator that wanted to be a panelist and never let any of the actual panelists get a word in.
To the panelist that on a very large panel...
Took over the mic.
And
bored everyone senseless.
And pretty much made it into his, her own dissertation. And the moderator
the moderator...
Let's not even open that can of worms. Look, what we're getting at here is the point of a panel is not to let one person speak. Now, before anybody starts throwing accusations my way, I'm going to say it. When a panel starts to break down, I get nervous and I overcompensate. I'm the first one to do that. But
you mean you talk when you're nervous about a panel?
Bingo. And I get nervous when you're sitting there, you've got panelists sitting up there and you don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. We're just sitting there and...
We're looking at the audience.
The audience looks at us. Nobody's saying anything. I'm like, okay.
I'm going to mind the gap.
But this is the thing. You are not on a panel to hear the sound of your own voice. The idea of a panel is that everybody gets a bite at the apple. And they all have
something to contribute.
Right. That's why they're there. Now... As panelists, though, there are little things that we need to avoid. One, if you find yourself on a panel and you don't know why you're on the panel, please do not start the panel by going, I have no idea why I'm on this panel.
Yeah, just keep that quiet. Keep that
please,
under your hat.
Because you look like an absolute dork when you do that.
Yeah. There was a reason that you were on this panel, some reason.
Yeah.
Presumably you said,
now,
I want to be on this panel.
There is also the option, though, that the programming Yahoo just threw you onto the panel just to have a warm body on the panel.
Ooh, I've never had that happen.
I have. But when you're on a panel, it's a team effort. And it's not just the panelists, it's the moderator.
Oh, the moderator is very important.
Moderator is key. If you want to learn how to moderate a panel, you watch this guy named Carl Cipra. He is based out of the East Coast. I see him at PhilCon. I see him at Balticon. Sometimes I see him at RavenCon. Great guy. Phenomenal. I mean phenomenal moderator because, one, he introduces everybody.
Yes.
And here's something else you don't do to your moderator. If your moderator is introducing you and you go, well, you don't have to do that. I mean, I can introduce myself.
Yeah.
Okay, one, that's rude.
That's just somebody effing went to all the trouble of learning about you, right?
Exactly. So please, Saint Fu. Second, if the moderator wraps up the panel at 9:45 or at 6:45, and the one douchebag goes, well, I only got 6:45 on my watch. We still got 15 minutes.
Yeah, you don't.
No, swipe. You've got 10 minutes between panels so you can get from one panel to the next so people aren't getting up and walking
running,
out on
or
you.
Or running.
Or running to the next panel that they want to go
especially
to.
Especially panel if you're on another panel straight after. For guests, it's pretty hard.
I know, but it's just a really rude thing to do. The moderator is the captain of the boat. Mm-hmm. You can be a New York Times best-selling author. You could be blowing Stephen King. You know what? If you're not the moderator, again, Saint Fu. And let the moderator pilot the ship.
Well, when you say that, I'm thinking about the bad panels that I've been on. It's always been the moderator.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's always, I mean, you can
tend to be a magnet for bad moderators.
Yeah. If you have a bad moderator, it's not going to go well.
You know, all you can do is try. And
you want to have a moderator because there are sometimes they do panels without a moderator.
And that's just. That's
you're relying on the panelists to be you know
responsible
and
you really
polite.
You can't do that.
No, because the one time that you don't have a moderator, that's when there's some, you know, squad that's like, oh, I want to talk about my book for the next 45 minutes.
Because my blog post on alternative realism and science fiction is the most cited on the internet. Blah, 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 blah. And you know what? And then what's worse is when you have, we experienced this. One of us was on the panel. Another one of us was in the audience. And there was a panel where there was that one panelist that knew everything about the topic.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the moderator who was a raging fan of said know-it-all. And it just became very uncomfortable because the moderator did nothing to tell Mr. Know-it-all, stop.
No, she
hogging
actually
the mic.
She encouraged him.
She encouraged him. And she shut down the other six people that were on the panel.
It was a big panel.
One of them being a New York Times best-selling author.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
That's sad because also from an audience point of view, they don't want to come along and hear one person talk at them for a good portion of the thing. They want to go and they want to hear. They're here for like a little taster, a little bit of everybody.
And as a panelist and as a moderator, that's something you have to do. You have to read the audience and you have to control the audience.
If you look out from where you sit on high and see the audience rolling their eyes
or
yawning,
or one of them saying, "Okay, we've heard you monologue about this topic.
Can we have something else?
Can we hear from somebody else?"
Cheered.
Yeah. You also need to make sure that the audience is listening. Not only are the panelists supposed to be listening to you as the moderator, but you have to make sure that the audience knows.
You need to be able to control the audience.
Yeah. If someone starts blurting out a question, you go, I'm sorry, we're going to take questions later. Please be patient.
Yeah.
And if they don't like that,
because there's usually somebody in the audience who has something and they just can't hold it in.
Or who really wants to be on the panel.
Yes.
And you also have to, again, control that person. If you're, and I've had this happen to me both as a moderator and as a panelist. As a panelist, the person did nothing about the person in the audience. As the moderator, I had to step in and go, look, I appreciate your enthusiasm for the topic, but please let the panelists ask the question.
There will be time for questions.
There will be time for questions and answers later, but please, please hold your comments and we can talk about this outside, but right now, let the panelists talk.
Mm-hmm.
And some people take offense to that. You know what? That's a moderator's job. That's why they're called moderators. The other thing though, but to give you a really good example of when a panel is rock solid, your panel, we talked about this at on the last show, your panel at New York Comic Con, that guy was really nervous.
Yeah.
He was.
I think the thing I can count off the things he did right. He knew about us, so he introduced us himself, thus displaying that he'd spent a little bit of at least, you know, 10 minutes figuring out who we were. And he made sure that everybody had a say. I also think that the panelists were really good because there wasn't one of them there and there were some big hitters there.
Oh, good Lord. Brandon Sanderson was on that panel. I mean, if anybody was expected to be that guy, it was going to be him. But then, granted, I've never heard Brandon. I don't know what kind of a personality he is. I just know that he was the guy tapped.
He's on writing excuses, so he's probably had some audio-ish experience.
Right. But he was everybody on that panel was polite. They were fun. They did not. This is going to sound condescending, but they didn't speak until they were spoken to.
Yes. They didn't suddenly interrupt each other or stuff like that.
And if they did, they would come in with, "I just would like to add something to that."
Yes, it was very polite. Everybody got a say, and
when you got seven people on a panel, I was like, "No one's going to get a word in edgewise." And yet, that felt like a really robust panel because not one person. Took over the mic.
No, I think that was probably my favorite panel so far.
To date,
yeah, because it was New York Comic Con, and there was a queue through the door, and in fact, they were turning people away.
Just make sure that when you're up there, if there are more people on the panel, you got to make sure that everybody gets a bite at the apple.
Yeah, yeah.
That everybody talks.
You've got to, to be a good panelist, you've got to be polite and be able to competently explain your position and don't be afraid to speak your mind.
And on dovetailing on speaking your mind, make sure that when you do speak your mind, again, don't be that guy. Don't go, "You're wrong." Say, "Well, I would like to bring in a different opinion," or, "Well, I have seen in my experiences, you know, there are 1,000 different ways of saying I have an opinion
that's
different than yours."
Yeah.
If you come out with "you're wrong," well, then it suddenly becomes Thunderdome.
You're that guy.
Yeah, you're that guy. That's the other thing, too. If you're looking at the panel and you're wondering which one on the panel is that guy, I got news for you. You're that guy.
Often I've also had it on panels where people sit down and go, "Who's the moderator?" And as soon as somebody says, "Who's the moderator?" they're the moderator.
Exactly.
So
exactly. Don't do that either.
I keep my mouth shut.
But again, going back to moderators, do yourself a favor. Oh, well, screw it. Anybody going to a con, you get a piece of paper that gives you advice on how to be a good moderator. Would you please f-ing read the piece of paper?
Yes.
Because there's some important data on there that you need to know before you start driving the ship.
Yes.
Let's make sure that the ship you're driving isn't the Exxon Valdez, okay?
So we're back.
Yeah.
Ranty rant. So now getting past that, let's look ahead.
Well, I'm all
look into your crystal ball,
I'm
Mr. Morris.
I'm all ranted out. I'm now in this nice Zen sort of thing, but then I got to edit this.
That'll finish you off.
Yeah, I will. So
we have no cons for the rest of the year.
We are done. We have first off. Major props. We're going to glom about them in a later episode.
Yeah,
but
we
want to
get a little space before we.
You know what? We're just going to come out and say it. LeagueOfSteam.com.
Check them out. Awesome folks.
These guys
kind,
are
generous.
Awesome.
Yes.
They know all the best places to eat.
Yes.
And just great people. The gadgets that these folks had. Good gravy.
Oh my God, man.
But. The funny thing was, I got to tell this quick story. Was when I was I wanted to earn my keep with the League of Steam, and I said, "Well, let me help you with your gear." So, we're trying to get out to the car. We get all geared up, and we start walking back, and people stop us to take pictures. And I noticed when I was standing there. At first, I stood there with just holding props, but I noticed that Rick and Glenn were given the thumbs up because that's the symbol for the League of Steam. By the time I reached the booth, it was automatic, you know. You want to take a picture? Sure. And I did the thumbs up, you know. And I remember leaning over to Glenn and going, "It's going to get worse." And he goes, "Yeah." And I go, "It's okay if I just put my thumb up and, you know, hang in there. And he goes, you're with us. Go on. and just yeah, nice guys.
Kamikaze was a lot of fun.
Kamikaze Expo was really good times. We can talk about that on a later show.
But we are done with the cons for this year.
That was our last con for the year. That
2011
was
cons.
The 2011 con season is done. We appreciate PhilCon for inviting us, but not this year. We're tapped.
We need a rest. We need to lie down on a nap.
Yeah, just lie down on a nap. Oh yeah, and then the holidays. But what's coming up next? Well, right now that's gonna be what we're gonna be doing between November and December is we're gonna be working on
edits.
On edits for the Janus Affair, a Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences novel.
And coming in May
2012.
Late May. It could be June.
And then we've got Wraith.
Yes.
When is that coming out?
Wraith is coming out in September next year.
And then we have Hunter and Fox, which coming is the reason in, why we're going to we have sealed Dragon Con for 2012. You know, that's already paid.
That's the way. Yeah, Wraith is coming in July.
July.
Yeah.
You said September.
No, September is when. No, sorry. Wraith is coming in September. Hunter and Fox is coming in July.
Okay.
It's confusing, I
yes.
know.
Yeah. Tough to
it's
be you.
It's going to be a tough summer.
It's like feeling sorry for you is like feeling sorry for Nathan Lowell, okay?
Yeah. 3 books in a year. Poor me.
Yeah, poor you.
I try not to. remember the smallest violin in the world. I try not to complain because people are going to send me death threats.
But yeah, we're looking at where we're going in 2012. We are we've got 3 books coming out. Oh, excuse me, let me rephrase that. I have half a book coming out. Kip has 2.5 books coming out.
You have a whole book coming out.
And we are currently working on what is the
third book.
The third book, which the working title is Dawn's Early Light.
That will probably change.
That will probably change because unless we get a bigger cover. But I'm gonna fight for that because I like that title. And then we've got also coming in I'm gonna just go out and say this. Coming in March, we are going to be starting up the second volume
of Tales from the Archives. We're going to finish off with the final ministry story.
Yeah, we got one in the works.
We've got one in the works. It should be in the next couple of weeks.
And the other thing, too, that we're going to do in between Volume 1 and Volume 2 is we are going to produce 1 to 2 original 99 Penny Dreadfuls. Some of them may be produced for Volume 2. Some of them may not. But we are going to do that, and they're going to be written by either myself or Pip.
Or the cats.
We can't get those clouded.
That's not working very hard.
No.
Yeah, so we got enough stuff. It's not like we're going to be slacking off
after stopping going
to the conventions.
And of course, we're still going to be doing the shared desk, which, by the way, is protected by the Creative Commons 3.0 license. Share alike, no derivatives, no something or other. You know, eventually I'm going to get this thing right, but you get the idea.
Creative Commons attribution, no derivatives, 3.0.
Share alike license.
There you go.
Yeah. So, you know, hey, you know, professionals, that's what we are. And hey, do you know where they can find us, Pip, online?
Why? I believe they can find us on thesheddesk.com, ministryofpeculiaroccurrences.com, tmorris.com, pjballantine.com.
And you know where else they can find us? I almost missed this. Goodreads.
Oh!
Goodreads. Yes, the latest.
Let's sneak that puppy in.
Yeah, Goodreads. We are the only steampunk title.
We're the only comedy.
And the only comedy currently in the first round of Goodreads Best Science Fiction of 2011. It's the Choice Awards.
That is crazy.
It's a nuts. I mean, we're running with Charlie Strauss, Stephen King, Sharon Lee and Steve Miller.
China Mieville.
Robert
Who the hell
Sorry.
Let us in there?
I have no idea. But there we are, nonetheless.
But thank you.
Yes.
We've got to say the thank you to the Goodreads people, but there's still something you need to do.
Yeah, you need to go and vote. If you've got a Goodreads account.
If you haven't, go make one.
Yeah, go make one. And go on ahead and vote for your favorite books. But when you get to science fiction, please vote for The Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences. Vote for Phoenix Rising. Our aim, we're being realistic about this. Now, if we want it, hey, it's gravy. But you know what? We just want to see how far we can take this. There are 3 rounds. We're currently in the opening round. Then there's the semifinals, and then there's the final round. We want to just make it to the finals. We're not going to get – now, you can go on ahead and check out either one of our blogs, and we talk about this. We're not going to suddenly start spamming you for votes, but we are going to remind you of when those deadlines are.
Especially when the second – it's divided up into 3 rounds. Yeah. So once the – the rounds change, we'll probably keep reminding people.
And that's what we, you know, we want to be able to keep this in the running for as long as we can.
Yeah, we want to ride this puppy.
If we can get to the top 10 books,
ooh.
you're going
to
see.
I think it's crazy enough we got to the top 15. But,
we're thrilled. We're thrilled by that. And so.
Vote early, vote often.
Exactly. And so you got that, and you know, we're thrilled at the support, the Airship Award, the Goodreads nod, the comments on the blog, the comments on
the Amazon reviews,
the Audible reviews. Thank you all very much. You guys are what keep us going. Hey, quick shout out to all the folks in NaNoWriMo. Good freaking luck.
And why are you listening to us? Go write some words.
You got some writing to do. Go write, baby. Go write. Until next time, enjoy the ride.
And I'll catch you later. Okay.
Now, now if we
remember
do...
the days when we said this was going to be half an hour?